This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with a new series, and this time I'm working out of a book, and the book is called Change or Die. Now, that's a book by Alan Deutschman, and he is an author. He's an editor of Fast Company, a really avant-garde business magazine, and thinks a lot about the future. But I'm not going to call this series Change or Die. I'm going to call it Change and Thrive, which is a subheading of one of his chapters. So Change and Thrive, or and making change probable. Not possible, but I think probable. Alan Deutschman is not the typical guy you would be reading in the area in which you and I work. He's business. He's not particularly interested, perhaps, in NGO kind of things, but he's very interested in change. And he just has done a lot of thinking and writing about change. Now, he's focusing on the issue of, is it really possible to change? Because, indeed, some of the research appears to show otherwise. And he asked the question, could you change when it really matters most? That is, like when your life depended on it. Well, experts say you wouldn't. Matter of fact, the odds are 9-1 against you. Now, what kind of change or die stuff are we talking about? Well, for example, if you had a heart attack, would you change your lifestyle so that you could live well? Most people don't. If you had an addiction to drugs, would you be able to change? Most people don't. If you were facing prison for something that you did, would you change? Many people don't. How do we typically try to change? Well, I'm going to answer that in two ways. I'm going to look at how we typically try to make change or make others change. Well, first, we usually present facts. The idea working here is that knowledge is power. That's kind of a folk theory in our lexicon of things that drive us. Knowledge is power. If we just gave people the knowledge, the correct knowledge, the healthy knowledge, they would take that and naturally change for the better. Well, unfortunately, knowledge doesn't produce lasting change. To tell somebody about how to have a good diet so as to avoid heart attacks, well, that's something we've done a lot of, but we don't really see it making a whole lot of difference. It doesn't change necessarily the rates of heart attacks or the kind of food that we consume. So if facts don't always work, we go to the next step, and that is fear. The idea is maybe to scare you into health. I had a treadmill a few months ago, and while I'm in a very good range as far as those tests show, I got the penetrating glare and stare, and my cardiologist said, okay, you're doing fine, but you're not going in a good direction. And he was trying to scare me, which I must admit it at that time was very effective. I wanted to promise anything so that I didn't have a heart attack. But you know what? In my case, I find that weeks afterwards, except maybe when I'm working on this series, I just don't see that I have made significant change. I'm sort of embarrassed to admit that, but I mean, I'm like most people. So fear doesn't always work either. The fear adage that mothers say, don't do that, you'll break your leg, doesn't always stop the child. And that kind of threat and fear-producing stimulus doesn't really make us respond in a way that changes things for the better. So finally, then, there's the whole issue of force. Well, if I can't reason with you and I can't freak you out, I'm going to force. And probably in our culture, the biggest thing about force that we can see is our incarceration system. Not real good results about turning people out who turn into model citizens. So these three Fs, if you will, of change, facts, fear, and force, don't really produce the kind of change that we need. And that's where the odds are stacked against us. However, there is good news to this. Deutschman put together some ideas, and I'm going to sort of highlight them today, but they're about how we can change. Change can and will happen. So instead of the three F's, he uses the three R's, and let me just go through those. The first of the three is relate. He suggests that studies show that people who form a new emotional relationship with a person or a community that inspires and sustains hope are able to make lasting change. That's interesting. So relate is the first one. The second is repeat. This new relationship helps you learn, practice, and master the new habits and skills that you need to build on these initial changes. So relate, repeat, and then reframe. The new relationships help you to learn new ways of thinking about your situation and your life. That's very interesting. It's kind of easy to come up with the three R's, relate, repeat, and reframe. Say that four times, you might actually remember it. But there's a lot going on here that I see that's very relevant to our issues of cross-cultural living well and learning, and I want to go over that. I have talked about in the past that some of the key issues about becoming an effective new member of another culture or style or arena has a lot to do with the way in which you go about building relationships. If you go into a new context and you say, oh, this is scary, there's so much different, there's way more different than there is the same, and I'm never going to manage it, or I don't want to manage it, or I don't want to learn, maybe because I don't like this, I don't like them, I don't know about myself, I don't know, all these reasons. But if you go in with the attitude of these are new people and new places and new situations, and I'm here to learn, and I want to build new friends, a new surrogate family, and a new community where I can be a member. Do you hear the difference in attitude that's going on? So this is really important. Maintaining a new emotional relationship with the person or community can help you a lot. Now, in Deutschman's context, he talks about that helps to inspire you and sustains hope. Yeah, it does. Imagine if all you had in your relationships in your new context were people who thought about it as a fearful place or a threatening place or a dishonest place. Guess what? Your perspective would be that. But if you were around people who said, hey, this is different but fun, different but interesting, challenging but rewarding, guess what? It really makes a positive difference. The second thing is repeat. I've talked about the daily living and learning cycle of glue. Get what you need, learn what you get, use what you learn, and evaluate what you use. That's repetitiveness, and you keep doing that, and you keep working through that. Why? Because we're trying to develop new habits. And guess what? That produces lasting positive change. The new habits and skills become firmly implanted in you. And finally, reframe. These new relationships with people in a community help you to make sense in new ways, develop new ways of thinking about your situation and your life. In other words, new things make you think new. That makes sense. It's kind of obvious on one level, but it's incredibly far-reaching in terms of crossing over these cultural boundaries. You don't necessarily have to change or die. I mean, you can leave, you can cocoon yourself. There are numerous things that you can do that would allow you to live in places where you don't normally feel comfortable in. But that's not what I'm about. I'm about thriving. Let's focus on change and thrive. So for our assignment, what I'd like you to do is to pick an issue. What issue? What things are bothering you? What things could you really begin to work on changing? Now, some of you may have very quickly come up with an idea, and it may be not a major idea, and you can make positive changes. Some of you may have more difficulty with this. I'm not really worried about what issue you pick. I'm more concerned that you pick an issue that you would feel comfortable working on. Going through change produces a new you. It really does. And sometimes we don't want to have a new us. But that's more for the people that stay home. People that cross cultural boundaries in many ways are looking for ways to enlarge their relationships and their communities and their influence. And that's what I want us to be about over this series. So pick an issue, be thinking about it, pick a number of issues. We'll work on some things. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about changing ourselves, changing organization, changing the organization that we're part of, and finally finishing up on thriving. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.